and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We pick up our study here in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 14, Matthew 8:14. Our Lord Jesus has healed a leper coming down from the Sermon on the Mount, been greeted by this centurion there in Capernaum as he enters in and heals his servant. He tells about the unlikely guests of the kingdom, or unlikely inhabitants, if you will, of the kingdom of heaven, and how it is that it will be many that will be there that will surprise others. And as the Lord declared in chapter 7, many that claim the Lord's name will be cast out because he never knew them, and they're workers of iniquity, claiming their own righteousness rather than the righteousness of the Lord. We come here to chapter 8, verse number 14. The scripture says, "And when Jesus was come into Peter's house," that is Peter the apostle, there at Capernaum, "he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." A couple of verses, we could even ask ourselves, why are these even in the scripture? The Lord healed so many. Why wouldn't he heal the family of his disciples and even his apostles? Why wouldn't he do that? Of course he would do that. But here, this is here, and it tells us a few things. It tells us a few things that we just need to know, telling us the truth about things that are supposed by many in our day that are just not true. We see here that he came into Peter's house, and he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. So here we see that first, the apostle Peter is married. And there are those universalists that declare that the servants and ministers of the Lord should not be married, claiming celibacy as the right way in servitude to the Lord. But there's no content of that in the scripture. Paul does write that it would be good for a man to be as he, and we believe that his reference there is that he was a man that was not married or may have been widowed and did not remarry. The thing is that is a gift. The gift of singleness is given by the Lord to some, to men and to women, that they might be totally and completely dedicated to the work and service of the Lord. And that is given to some. But the thing is, it's not a requirement. The design of the Lord is for a man and a woman to marry. That is God's design from the beginning, from Adam and his wife, from the Adam and the woman who became, was later named Eve. The marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. We see that in Hebrews chapter 12. And so, Peter, as is claimed by some to be the first pope, was a man married himself. And a claim is made by universalists that their organization never changes. But obviously from Peter, who they claim to be their first leader, and one in the stead of Christ, physically, marriage and their hold to marriage has changed, has it not? And so Peter's wife's mother, his mother-in-law, is sick of the fever. And Jesus doesn't go through a whole lot of gyrations here. He touches her hand, and the fever leaves her. And you know how it is when you've had the flu and had a fever that's long and drawn out. It takes a while to get back on your feet, even though the fever has broken and maybe you haven't eaten. That happens a lot when we have a fever. We just quit eating. Maybe very ill, very sick from it. And it just takes a while to get back on your feet. But here again, once again, the total and complete healing of the Lord. He touches her hand, the fever leaves her, and she arose and ministered unto them. She just gets up and gets going. That's the way the Lord heals. He heals completely. And in this day, miraculously, by his own touch. And when the even was come, verse number 16, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, just by speaking, and healed all that were sick. He healed them all, not just some, but all. No case too hard for the Lord. He said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, or Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. I wonder about this, and it's Brother Isaiah writes it, and it is indeed true. I wonder about the extent of the Lord bearing such, and all the healing and all the leprosies and all the things that the Lord healed from. He declares with the woman there, as Jesus is on the way to ultimately raise Jairus's daughter from the dead, that the woman with the issue of blood comes and touches the hem of his garment. As she had said so in her heart, that if she could just touch him, she would be healed of this infirmity that she had had for 12 years, the same age, the same time frame as the age of Jairus's daughter. And the Lord Jesus says there, who touched me? When this woman worked her way in there and touched him, touched his garment. And he says, for I perceive virtue is going out from me, power. I wonder about the Lord Jesus in the fulfilling of this passage. Did he indeed bear every infirmity in that way? Yes, certainly he healed. But did he bear such substitutionarily? Did he take it to himself physically? Healing Peter's mother-in-law, did he take the fever on himself? I wonder about that, because we know the word is true and it cannot be broken. Himself took our infirmities, he quotes here, and bare our sicknesses. Praise the Lord for such a physician as our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great physician indeed. Verse 18, now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side of the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, Gennesaret, all those different names. And so all these multitudes are near, and he says, let's go to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And so the scribe says, I'm going with you. He makes a declaration out of it rather than just doing it. But he says unto him, Master, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus, the humility of the Lord Jesus in the day of his ministry and the day of his coming as Savior, he declares this. He saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So he says, beware, I don't have anything. And you know, that's something about the Lord Jesus and his humility and his coming. In our day, we wouldn't esteem the Lord Jesus as much of an accomplisher of anything. He owned no land. He was ministered to out of the wealth of others. Certainly, he was no freeloader. He's worthy to be worshipped in that regard. We should never think that the Lord being worthy of such would carry over to us that we should not work and labor for our meat and our provision, the Lord blessing as he's pleased to provide for us in that way. But he says, the animals even have a home and a den. But I don't have a place to lay my head. So, Mr. Scribe, you need to be aware of that. I don't have anything. And another of his disciples, verse 21, said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, what the man is saying is not that his father has died recently and he needs to go to the funeral. But we understand this historically, that what the man is saying is that I'm going to go home and stay with daddy until he gets old enough and does die, and then I'm going to come and follow you. The thing is, folks, we need to understand that the command of the Lord to follow him is an immediate command. It's not a command to wait. But when the Lord says, come, follow me, he means that and that now. But Jesus said unto him, verse 22, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. He said, you need to follow me, son. You need to follow me now. And your dad will be taken care of. But you need to follow me now. And when he was entered into a ship, verse 23, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, though he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now understand, these apostles, some of them had grown up on this sea, this lake. James and John and Peter and Andrew, I mean, they were fishermen, no doubt, from the time they were kids. And they knew how it was on the water and how to operate on the water. And even they are saying, we're done for, Lord. We are done for. Save us. We perish. And the Lord Jesus being asleep, they wake him up. He's not excited. And that's a point to you and me. If the Lord's not excited, I don't need to be excited. And he saith unto them, verse 26, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled. There's that word marvel again, like we saw with the Lord Jesus up against the centurion and what his request and stand was regarding the Lord's authority and ability. And they all marveled, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What kind of a fella is this? And indeed, what kind of a fella is Christ? Well, he's the Savior. He's God come down in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, to be the Savior of sinners like you and me. We pray that you'll look to him in repentance and faith, and cast all your care upon him. I see their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.